So, a traditional Jewish, Christian, and Muslim...
Atheist and agnostic, as well as many types.
Hi, everyone. My name's Katie.
Hi, Katie. I'm Preston.
And this is...
The Holy Watermelon Podcast.
I thought an intro would be like an introduction.
I mean,
it would be nice. Occasionally.
All they know is our names. We don't haven't described who we are and why we're here.
Oh, I gotta go back to the trailer for that.
Should we introduce ourselves a little more often?
Probably. Because Aaron can join our Discord.
Sure.
I mean, sure, it's the end of January 2023 already, which just blows my mind.
We've been doing this for a couple of years.
I'm our resident atheist.
And I'm a Christian and graduate in this exact field of studies.
And an all-around great guy.
Thanks. I'm glad you think so.
I wouldn't have done
this. You're pretty good for an atheist, too.
Wow.
Most atheists are better than most Christians.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay, that could be an exaggeration, but probably not by a lot.
You know, one reason atheists tend to be better than Christians is that they don't just let their children die in the name of the Lord.
That specific detail is true.
Wow, I just said it. Today we're talking about religion and medicine and how religion and religious beliefs affect your belief of science.
Yeah. Man, what a roller coaster. There's some interesting things that we've been able to uncover, and definitely lots of bad news. We cannot cover every news story that falls into this category, of course.
There were some really depressing. There were some really sad ones.
But yeah, generally, problems have come up.
Yeah, which is so weird because historically, the hospital system as we know it is a Christian invention.
Yeah, hospitality. And, I mean, even the word that we have for hotels now, all of that, comes from the need to take care of people who don't have somewhere else to be, especially the people who straight up can't take care of themselves at all.
Yeah, so the first hospitals were kind of an amalgamation of both hospitals as we know them, but also hostels and food banks or soup kitchens. And they'd just take care of everyone that needs some extra help. And then obviously we started segregating those things. And a lot of healers or medical people were priests to begin with.
Well, anciently, if we look at the biblical tradition, and this was pretty standard for most societies around the world, your healers, your medical practitioners were the priesthood.
Yeah.
Those are the people that could read, who were keeping notes on things that worked and didn't work.
Because they could also write,
yeah.
Which most people couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, the craft of literacy and writing was all practically magic to the layperson.
Yeah. So then things somewhere along the way went horribly wrong.
They sure did.
So there's a lot of Christian groups that, and I mean, Preston, I'll get your hot take on this, but there are science deniers, and I know a lot of that stems from having to reconcile evolution with what's written in the Bible. So it feels like they just are like, well, science isn't real because how could Noah have worked then? It couldn't have. So they deny science. And then by extension, things like medicine and most recently with the pandemic, things like vaccines are being denied for their efficacy.
Imagine this just for a moment.
Okay.
Dreams. You live on this planet.
Mm-hmm. I do. I don't need to imagine that.
Okay. So far, you're with me, right?
Yep.
All right. Now, imagine going through life not ever being able to predict the outcome of any action ever.
I don't like that.
No, that's absolute nonsense. You know that when you put one foot in front of the next one, it's going to meet the ground that you can see, and that as you shift your weight, you can propel yourself forward. That's science.
That just reminded me of a really bad joke.
If you're going to pour yourself a glass of water, that's science. We have reliably proven that the exercises to accomplish these tasks work.
Yep. And I mean, we can go back to our early episodes, but there was a time when things couldn't be proven, so we used religion to prove them,
Or explain them. We had all kinds of fancy hypotheses for all sorts of things we didn't understand. And then we studied them.
And then we figured it out, which is awesome. But yeah, but would I be right to say that a lot of this anti-science comes from trying to reconcile this Bible that, if you're a fundamentalist and believe is true to the word, even though there are stories we know are not true stories, then you have to cut out science.
You don't have to.
But then how does Noah work if you have science? It doesn't.
Yeah, things get complicated when you try and mix stories that turning sun into a pillar of primarily salt. Symbolic.
Doesn't work. So if you think it's the literal truth, then you're gonna have a hard time.
Yeah. And so it's weird that, and this is definitely throwing the baby out with the bathwater, if you just, science disproves this one thing that I believe really strongly, really effectively, then I'm gonna have to stop believing literally everything under the banner of science? Weird choice.
You'd think so, but again, a lot of people let their kids die over this, so.
Yeah.
So, we found a whole bunch of Christian denominations that do this. The Followers of Christ. In the early 2000s, this group had a child mortality rate 10 times higher than the state average of where they were located, which was the state of Idaho, because they like faith healings.
Yeah.
Instead of real doctors.
Yeah.
One thing that was also really terrifying that I guess benefited the Followers of Christ, also we're going to talk about Christian Scientists later, also benefited Christian Scientists, is that President Nixon actually made a ruling that required states to pass exemptions to child medical treatment based off of a religious exemption. So basic parents couldn't go to jail if their child died because they made a medical choice based off of their religion. So you couldn't charge them with like neglect or murder. So that was really cool.
So I'm fully on board with the whole, the government won't impose laws on what you believe, but the government has an awful lot of laws on how you can act in our shared society. And our actions are founded on the things that we believe about the world around us. So we need to convince people to change their beliefs.
Well, and this, comes back. I mean, we've done a lot of episodes on this, everything from our parody religions episode to atheism and Satanism, of like, that's great that you want to kill your kid, but like, I can't just like make up a rule for religious exemption.
Right.
Right. If we can just do things because we say, but I'm religious, like, everything would become chaos.
You just got to stop telling the government you're an atheist, and then you get all kinds of fancy freedoms.
Cool. Okay, well, I believe in Russell's teapot, and Russell's teapot tells me I get to be naked 24/7 in public. So I cannot go to jail for public indecency. Like, you can't just do that, Preston.
That depends where you live.
I mean, I know you
can. I mean, full nude, still prohibited in most places, but
handful of nude beaches you can go to.
But you can be fully topless in most parts of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we also have the weather that discourages that.
Like, right now. Right? But, like, you can't just have your wiener hanging out, Preston.
No.
And you can't, if everyone just said, well, it's because I'm religious.
Well, we do know that members of the clergy have definitely been caught with their wiener in places where it does not belong.
No,
and get away with it because they claim religiousness. There have been way too many times where somebody who has been a pastor for a while, diddled a couple of kids, went to court and got a reduced sentence because he's a man of faith. When clearly his actions say he's not.
Anyway, we just hopped on the soapbox for a minute there. This was eventually repealed in 1983, which I guess is good, but it was around for a while where you couldn't go to jail if you killed your kid. So, A+, President Nixon.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting. Christian nationalism is a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you were on, I was just remembering the other day, you were on a podcast talking about some of this stuff, progressive versus not progressive Christianity.
Yeah, it was a little while ago now, actually. But it was a good time.
I'm the villain.
Yeah.
Check out Preston.
Man, that feels like so long ago now.
Yeah, real scary stuff, especially when it came to the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, Christian nationalism has been a problem in North America for almost a century, but things got really weird over the COVID crisis. And all kinds of people shouting about their rights to avoid this poison. Well, I want to get a little bit more into that later. But it's just crazy that 45% of white evangelical adults said they would not be vaccinated. That is a staggeringly large number.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea is not just in like a couple of weird little nationalist groups either. It has spread through a lot of Christianity, but the nationalists got really gross about it.
And like bizarre about it. One of the articles I read said that Christian nationalists have said that the vaccine is the mark of the beast as prophesized in the Revelation of John, because it prevented people from buying and selling, air quotes, without the mark.
Yeah. Our recent guest, Dr. Glenn Farren, has shown up in other shows examining this exact phenomenon. Oh, that's really awesome. Fascinating.
Yeah. And terrifying.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, because we introduced ourselves. As our resident Christian, why do you think it's taken such a hold on Christianity?
We have this frustrating problem where there's been this prediction of a whole bunch of signs that'll mark the coming of the Savior. And it's been many, many centuries where it's kind of been a building tension. We've got all kinds of apocalyptical groups popping up more and more recently, but they've been around for a while. And when we see anything that can fit into that framework that's built to be a thing of interpretation rather than a one-for-one obvious comparison kind of deal, it's something that people really latch onto. And so when you see this part in the scripture that says, without this mark, you won't get to participate in the economic part of society, then you fear that maybe this is a parallel to what is happening with, oh, you need your COVID passport to go into a store, instead of recognizing, oh, I have a civil responsibility to do my best to take care of the people around me, and that's why I'm being shunned, because I don't want to help out. It's so much more fun and self-aggrandizing to see everyone else as the villain rather than admit that you're the one causing harm. That's the problem.
Mormons believe in the second coming, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any piece of this that's like people wanting it to happen or being...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And no so they doubt. Just want to be on the bleeding edge so Jesus takes them up with him.
Yeah.
They don't want to be wrong.
Hey?
They don't want to be wrong. They want to take the mark of the beast and then Jesus will be like, no, sorry.
Yeah, you don't want to do anything wrong because what if this is the end? What if this is the trial? I don't want to fail.
Okay.
I need to be as faithful as I possibly can, even if that means I've screwed up. It's okay to make mistakes. You're forgiven for mistakes, as long as they're genuine mistakes and not me skipping out on opportunities to be better. But, I mean, all it takes is a little bit of extra thinking.
Anyway, it goes back to love your neighbor. We've talked about this a lot this month, actually.
And so many people have a hard time realizing that that's the number one thing. Jesus wasn't ambiguous about this. But it's hard to love your neighbor sometimes. Especially if your neighbor is anti-vaxxer.
You know what I've realized doing this podcast? I like Jesus a lot more now and Christianity a lot less.
Yeah.
Like, if you had asked me 3 years ago if I liked Jesus, I'd be like, I don't know. But but I actually kind of think he's a cool guy.
I appreciate that you have in your head separated the man from the fan club.
Yeah. And the more I learn, the more they're getting very separate in my head.
Because they're very different. I mean, there's more than one fan club. Most of the fan clubs suck.
So what we should do is we should start our own fan club. I'm kidding. That doesn't solve the issue.
What? More parties?
More denominations? Okay. In the United States, religious conservatism, including the evangelical and born-again Christianity movement, is associated with lower levels of trust in science, rates of vaccine uptake, vaccine knowledge, and higher levels of vaccine hesitancy.
Yeah. Research has found that religiosity is negatively associated with plans to receive the COVID vaccine, which is a huge bummer. And one religious worldview especially hostile to science and vaccines is the Christian nationalism movement. It's caused a fair bit of problems. Distrusting the government is fair to a degree. So not the same thing that sees a rebellion a whole year ago or a couple of years ago now, January 6th. But, you know, fun time.
Is it fun? One of these groups I found, and this is because they came up in the news for killing a child, and I put an asterisk, Preston, I'll let you guide me on how much we actually talk about this group, was the Unleavened Bread Ministries. And I'm big asterisks in our show notes. I say, I barely want to give this man any attention because he's fucking crazy.
I mean, that's fair.
So I'll probably just not say the pastor's name.
I think that's the right way.
So in 2008, an 11-year-old girl, Madeline Cara Newman, died of diabetes complications that were very manageable and very treatable. She literally just needed some insulin, which is really sad. But instead, her parents opted for prayer.
Yeah, it's not the only headline, but it happens. And I don't know why people want to deny that medicine is a gift. If you believe that God gives us all the good things and we've studied the universe to understand creation, which is the way a lot of religions do look at it, knowing that, oh, now that we know more about this thing, we can help people. Why not jump on that?
Right. So weird. So her parents were part of this Unleavened Bread Ministries. And so I decided to go to their website. And I really hope I'm not retargeted for anything, because that was something that was not pleasant. You can tune into their radio 24/7. They actually say tune into our radio channel 24/7, which implies they want you to listen to it 24/7, not that it's on 24/7, which was scary.
I mean, that's how you get your ad revenue, right?
I guess so. You should listen to the Holy Water Run podcast 24/7.
I think if you were to listen to us 24/7 right now,
you'd have just 5 days
of content. Yeah, just a couple of days of content, and then you're on repeat.
That's fine.
I mean,
I'm okay with it.
Maybe some people would be better for it.
So basically, this pastor tells to pray away COVID and other diseases, but he also recommended ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. That one. Okay. That makes you go blind or whatever as well, which was insanity to me. It's like, you should pray, but if you don't feel like praying, take something that will kill you.
The vaccine is poison, but ivermectin
is going to be great. Fine.
So
in my notes, I wrote, not sure if grifter or cult leader. Why not both? Right?
It's problematic. What's interesting to me is there is a reasonably common belief among these Christian extremists, let's call them what they are, that the vaccine is poison. And I've heard several times that all these people who took the vaccine, they're going to be dead in 5 years or less.
Did you see his quote? Fully vaccinated people, this is from the pastor, again, his name I won't say, fully vaccinated people are now suffering from what looks like the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, better known as AIDS. Their immune system is fading, as many have warned. So both Preston and I apparently have AIDS.
Apparently.
Most of our friends also apparently have AIDS.
Yeah. So what I was getting to, sorry, this idea that this vaccine is poison. And remember, the vast majority of us are taking the vaccine to either protect ourselves or to protect the people around us because we care about them. So here's a passage from Mark chapter 16, Gospel of Mark. It's Jesus speaking. It's after he's been resurrected. He's teaching the remaining apostles because Judas is gone. He's not with them. And he says, those who believe in me will be able to drink poison without being hurt. I mean, there's a bit about snakes in there. There's all kinds of little bits I skipped, but I added the beginning and the end together to give you the good bit. That if you believe, and if you do actually believe, you'll want to help your neighbors and protect them, then it sounds like the Lord says you got nothing to fear from this vaccine.
Yeah, well.
But to be fair, that is a personal interpretation of scripture that is at least as valid as the opposing argument.
So one of the arguments I wrote in these nothing short of crazy articles was that, and this kind of goes back to the Nixon thing, is that some of these groups have argued like, well, if someone dies under a doctor's watch, the doctor doesn't get charged. So just because we weren't successful in our prayer circle doesn't mean we should be charged. Oh, Preston. Preston's face is gold right now.
So while it's very tricky to charge a doctor,
unless it's malpractice.
Right. And it's very tricky to sue a doctor. They have training to do the things that they're expected to do. And the rest of us are told with, I would say, a close to equivalent value of repetition of, take your people to a doctor. So when we fail step one of the process to not even give the doctor a chance to screw up or do the great thing that we need, and it's usually a success, that is neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say in an awful lot of situations, a criminal neglect.
I just had a weird thought.
Yeah.
That's not in our notes. America in particular, and I mean Canada to some extent as well, prides itself on being a Christian nation.
Yep.
Christianity started the first hospitals to help people that couldn't help themselves. And America doesn't have free health care.
Nope.
Those things don't all go together, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay, just checking.
It sounds like you understand perfectly.
I do. I understand the pieces, but the why I am perplexed by. Because Jesus would have wanted public health care.
So we've already talked about the prosperity gospel.
We have.
And nothing on this planet is more American than public...
Grifting.
Than grifting. Yeah. Maybe the next best thing would be mass extermination.
Okay.
Which, I mean, is connected to this in some sort of way.
All right. Well, I feel like we're being very critical today, but
sometimes you gotta be, and that it comes with the territory in today's subject.
Totally. Then there are groups that have very specific rules around medicine, not necessarily these sort of broad, we don't believe in science.
A lot of groups generally like the idea of science. Oh, yeah, I guess this thing has been proven. Let's go with it, with exceptions.
So there's the Jehovah's Witnesses are, I don't want to say almost famous for, they do not accept blood transfusions. So overall, they're pretty cool with medicine and science,
mm-hmm.
unless you need a blood transfusion.
Yeah. Prince was, pretty well-known star. And almost as well-known that he was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And he had some wicked hip pain for a long time. And it is speculated, hard to confirm things now that he's gone, that it took him a while to get the hip surgery he needed because hip surgery almost always comes with a major blood transfusion because, you know, open up pretty high traffic area in the body.
Yeah.
And so it's a big problem. So it's generally discouraged that because of the blood transfusion, hip surgery is a tricky thing to try to navigate as a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. This is ages ago and I didn't find them for this. And we'll do a full episode on Jehovah's Witnesses one day. But the number of parents that when their kid needs a blood transfusion start to question their faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty. And
that's a healthy perspective.
Totally. But it's interesting. Like, I didn't pull up blood transfusion statistics, but especially probably before 50, most people do not need a blood transfusion unless you're, you know, touch wood, in a car accident or something.
Right.
But I've never needed a blood transfusion. I presume you've never needed a blood transfusion. So it's pretty easy to be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I cannot accept someone else's blood until you need to accept someone else's blood.
Right. Well, and I think it's really interesting that I've heard stories of people who say that after a blood transfusion, my brother, sister, loved one is just a totally different person. And so obviously it's because the spirit's in the blood and that's now they are a different person. The weird thing about that is they totally ignore the possibility that a incident that requires a blood transfusion is a life-changing experience.
It's probably traumatizing. It's things like cancer and major sure. accidents.
Well, yeah. You recognizing your own mortality sometimes is all it takes to yeah. really change how you want to deal with the world around you. It's a weird thing to hear people say, but I mean, the facts are the facts. They behave differently. Sure, fine. Or maybe you're reading more into it than is real and they haven't changed as much as you think, but you expect them to be different because there's this idea of a different soul in the body.
It sounds like
it's a spectrum. I can't say that it's all one thing or all the other, but I bet you it's a mix of the two.
Totally. So there's three Bible passages that Jehovah's Witnesses cite for not accepting blood transfusions. So I'm going to read them so we can get Preston's hot take on them as Perfect. The person who knows.
I like it.
So Genesis 9:4, you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood.
All right. So part of the context that we have here is this is a document of how the Lord's people should be different than their neighbors, what makes them different. A lot of the people around them, their neighbors, would ritually consume blood.
And that's well, blood in the mouth.
Yes, eating blood.
I think we need to be clear.
I have eaten blood or a blood-adjacent substance on a few occasions. It is delicious.
As someone who enjoys a good black pudding, yes. I prefer white pudding, though, which doesn't have the blood. But I won't say no to the black pudding.
Right. So you can take my interpretation of this however you want, I suppose. I don't think that there is a spiritual reason. I think this is more of a, this separates the people of Israel from their neighbors.
Okay.
Just another way to mark that we are different from them kind of deal.
All right.
And, I mean, building an us versus them philosophy isn't the healthiest choice. But here we are
in a world full of that. In Genesis, what makes a Jewish person a Jewish person, right?
I mean, that's really what Genesis and the Torah, the Tanakh are all about.
All right. So the next one is Leviticus 17:10. If anyone of the house of Israel or of the aliens who reside among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut that person off from the people.
So
is that God speaking?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the short version of this is if this person insists on eating blood, they will be excommunicated or exiled, depending on whether or not the church has a monopoly on national politics. Excommunicated if they're out in an area that's diverse like ours, exiled from the nation if you have a monopoly.
And again, this is blood in the mouth.
Yes. Do not eat blood.
Okay, because this is where I...
And it doesn't actually mean human blood. Cannibalism is an entirely separate law. this is don't eat the blood of the cattle and the livestock and the pigeons and everything else that you're bringing for sacrifices.
Right. Which is part of the kosher process.
Yeah.
Blood. Acts 15:28-29. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to impose on you no further burden than these essentials, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what is strangled and from fornication. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell.
I mean, I like having such a short list. Very convenient. Don't eat things that are sacrificed to false gods. Easy. Generally speaking. Though there are other parts where Paul does specifically say, you know what? It's okay to eat something sacrificed to idols if that's all there is to eat. Just remember, the gods aren't real, but be grateful that you have something to eat. Okay. So even in these essentials,
there's still an asterisk.
There's an asterisk. Yeah. Oh. But again, don't eat blood is still on the list. So
again, blood in the mouth.
Yes. Do not eat blood from these animals that you need. And then, of course, there's don't eat anything that's been strangled. Which
the meat would be tough.
It's better to just quick kill rather than choke a thing to death, because then it's got fight in it.
Yeah, it's got all the muscles, nuts.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be pleasant to eat.
I don't know.
And then don't have sex.
Which, yeah, totally unrelated to the previous three things. Well, fornication isn't just sex. Fornication is extramarital sex.
Oh, specifically?
Yeah, fornication is dirty sex. Oh. It's specifically that sex which is unapproved by society.
Well, wait till next episode, Kristen.
Yeah, we'll get a little more details there for you. But yeah, so Old and New Testament for the Christians who are super concerned about it, that's the deal, is that you should not eat animal blood.
So they don't let you take any blood, even if it's not in your mouth.
Yeah. Life-saving, apparently. Not that big a deal. If it's your time to go, it's your time to go kind of philosophy. Which sucks if you could have survived with the tools available to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are bloodless surgeries and blood alternatives.
Which sounds really weird.
I'm kind of the person, like, if you can have the real thing, why wouldn't you have the real thing? Right. Like, if you're not allergic to milk or lactose intolerant, why would you squeeze the shit out of an almond?
Right. Like,
you know, and I mean, I get lactose intolerance is a thing. Don't get me wrong.
I'm lactose intolerant.
I didn't
way
know
more
that.
Dairy in my diet than I should.
The fact that I didn't know you were lactose intolerant until this moment tells me that you do.
Well, okay. I'm lactose sensitive, not lactose intolerant. Okay. I'll correct that. There are times when I am way more sensitive than at other times.
Fair.
The night before I got married, actually.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We stopped at one of the great drive-thrus. And got the classic, real good, absolutely delicious milkshake. And I was ruined by the time we got down.
Oh, you know.
So everyone else is setting up the chapel hall for the decorations and the tables and everything. And I was just camped out somewhere else. But this week I've gone through a whole liter of eggnog and plenty of milk and no issues at all. Fine.
All right. Well, so, yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said before, it's great to say you don't accept a blood transfusion until you're one of the 4.5 million people a year in North America that needs one.
I'm curious, because I haven't been able to find anything, and maybe I just need to talk to somebody who's got specific religious authority to make such a declaration, how they might feel higher up among the witnesses about synthetic blood. I don't know how they'll feel about that.
Yeah. Members that willingly and knowingly accept blood transfusions are often disfellowshipped and generally like I said, they witnesses are encouraged for medical help other than this weird blood thing, which I feel like they have wrong, but whatever. What do I know?
Right. And a similar limitation, for some reason, the Amish and some other Mennonites, but not all Mennonites, believe that the spirit specifically lives in the heart. And, you know, if you're watching a movie and you get to a real emotional part and you feel a twinge in your heart, I can see why they might come to that conclusion.
When you see your husband, who I haven't seen in 3 weeks.
Right. When you feel that in your chest, it does make sense that you can believe your spirit resides in or near your heart. Fine. Feels a little bit weird, but I get it. So specifically, the Amish, while they have a tricky relationship with modern medicine, they do specifically avoid anything that would be even close to a heart transplant, because that's the soul. And yet, there's sometimes exceptions to that.
Asterisk. It's a spectrum.
Yeah. There have been children who have been born with heart defects that are so severe that before baptism, because as an Anabaptist, you are baptized later in life instead of as a child, like in the Catholic tradition, they are okay with a heart transplant in a young child. Sometimes.
Asterisk. I was born with a hole in my heart. Maybe that's why I'm an atheist.
Is it a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart?
I don't know. That was 32 years ago.
Is the hole still there?
No, it healed up.
It just healed up?
Yep. Sometimes they heal up on their own. Sometimes they need surgery. Mine just went.
Well, see, that's the weird thing about making people from a clump of cells is that when you're born, you still got a lot of growing to do.
So apparently, I looked into this like a million years ago. Apparently, like when you're born and finally get oxygen, it is supposed to just like happen. The chambers in your heart close up to what they're supposed to be, and mine didn't.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I don't know much about. But that is cool.
Yeah. Science.
Right? It's weird how many churches insist that the Bible says that a baby is a murderable person before they're born, when the Bible is pretty clear on the detail of, and he breathed and became a living soul. Now, you're allowed to take that symbolically, but when you do that, you no longer have the Bible backing you up when you say that a baby is alive from conception or from 6 months in or whatever. Whatever your arbitrary time is, the Bible doesn't have your back for any point before birth.
Check out our bonus episode on abortion.
Yeah, we get into a lot more detail there.
The next group we're going to talk about are Christian Scientists, or the Church of Christ, Scientists is their official name.
This
and group. Guess what, Preston? They hate science.
So this, I've run into a couple of these people over the years. That we've got a Christian Science Center downtown, and I've been trying to figure out for a while how they can get away with feeling comfortable using the word science, and that they call themselves scientists and absolutely deny the scientific method, the scientific collection of knowledge that we've amassed. I don't get it.
We will eventually, again, just like Jehovah's Witnesses, we'll do a full episode on Christian Scientists at some point, but we're just going to dive into the medical stuff for today's episode.
Yeah.
The Church of Christ Scientists was founded by Mary Baker Eddy in the 19th century, and it can actually be traced back, from, if you remember our last episode, to Phineas Quimby, the mesmerist.
Yeah, so she was a patient of his.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's where this connection comes in. So I did a little bit more research on this Quimby fella. And, oh, what a trip. So, oh.
Phineas Quimby, I'll let you read your research, but Phineas Quimby started the New Thought movement, which turned also into the prosperity gospel, the name it and claim it.
Yeah. Dr. P.P. Quimby. Which I didn't make up to make this humorous. This is how he styled himself.
This is amazing. And I love that we both are so mature that we can just laugh at Dr. Peepy.
I'm not sure he was a real doctor.
What?
I mean, as you learn more about this fella, you'll see why that could have been a problem.
Yes.
But Dr. Phineas Peepy Quimby was a clockmaker. Mm-hmm. You don't need a doctorate to be a clockmaker.
You don't need anything to be a clockmaker. Just some
I mean, you do need tools, yeah, yeah. For sure. And he was convinced that he had found the key to the science of health. This is where the Christian scientists adopted the word and never validated it ever again. The science of health, which, of course, is it's all in your head.
Yeah, it is. It's not. Your feelings and physical ailments are all valid.
Yeah. This gaping wound in my leg that's making a huge mess of the kitchen is all in my head.
No, it's all in the kitchen floor.
Anyway, Quimby's theory was that there is no intelligence, no power or action in matter of itself. That the spiritual world to which our eyes are closed by ignorance or unbelief is the real world. That in it lie all the causes for every effect visible in the natural world. And that if the spiritual life can be revealed to us, in other words, if we can understand ourselves, we shall then have our happiness or misery in our own hands. That sounds really nice.
Well, and I believe some of it.
Sure.
We talked about this for prosperity gospel. If you're a positive person, your life will feel more positive.
Yeah.
But this does not account for gaping leg wounds.
No, or viral infections, bacterial problems. There's a lot of things that you can't control with positive thinking. And this is a proven fact.
Yes.
So, interestingly enough, he was a very busy man. Quimby was treating several patients every day, almost every single day for years, which would be normal if he was a doctor. But he wasn't really a doctor. He would sit next to his patients and explain that their ailment was just in their minds and that they could control it just by thinking really hard about it. Just convince yourself that everything's fine and it will be. If it was easy to convince yourself of something that wasn't so easy to believe. And then it got weird. Sometimes he would rub their heads with his wet hands.
Ooh, why were they wet?
Oh, he would dip his hands in water and just rub their heads. He later explained that it was the words that did the help, not the contact with the wet hands. So presumably he was just rubbing their heads with wet hands for his own enjoyment.
That seems like a very specific fetish, but we don't king shame at the Holy Watermelon podcast.
True story.
But we do fake doctor shame, so carry on.
Yeah, we do. People are weird.
There's weirder fetishes than rubbing someone's head with your weapon.
I'm okay with it. If that's your fetish, that's fine. Is there
consent?
That's okay. My question. Are these people participating with informed consent in what is probably a sexual fetish?
Probably not, because it's the 1800s.
Yeah, consent was a tough discussion back then.
It's actually still a tough discussion, but that's a different episode.
But at least it's becoming more mainstream now.
Did you know 55% of Canadian men don't actually know what constitutes as consent?
That's terrifying. An alarming statistic.
Yep. A study came out recently.
Members of Congress are outing themselves all over the place right now, saying, oh, if we had the liberal laws of consent, I would be a sex criminal.
That means you're a sex criminal.
Why would you say that?
That means you're a sex criminal. Carry on.
Anyway, Quimby met Mary Baker Eddy in 1862 when she became his patient. And she was already into the weird spiritual things.
Metaphysical.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's what she started doing with it after she met Quimby that makes it easy to label her as full crazy.
So Eddie basically thought the world was the Matrix and the only real world was a spiritual world. And we've created this physical world in our minds.
Neil deGrasse Tyson talks a little bit about how the world is and the universe is probably just a simulation. So is that really all that different? They both sound crazy.
They both do sound crazy. I mean, we're getting into philosophy, and it already hurts my head just trying to formulate this sentence. But, like,
the trick is it's really easy to believe that the world is as concrete as it looks and feels. But, I mean, the things that we've found out by just scoping down onto the molecular level is even solid rocks are mostly empty space.
Yeah.
So it gets pretty easy to say, wow, yeah, there's a lot of magic going on here. Mm-hmm. What is what? Who knows? But it feels like we're getting some pretty interesting fictions.
Yes. So Eddie also wrote a book called Science and Health, which in addition to the Bible is considered a holy book in the Church of Christ Scientists.
You know, it's pretty normal to have the founding person's literature as part of your canon.
There seems like there isn't a lot of Christ in Church of Christ Scientists.
Well, they still have the Bible.
Yeah.
It's just secondary to you have the divine power yourself to heal all your problems.
This goes back to my earlier point of I'm starting to like JC.
Not
the fan club. All right.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting that members of the Church of Christ Scientists aren't strictly prohibited from seeking medical attention, but they do avoid it an awful lot. Instead, they just pray. And it's not like your regular prayer. That's like, it's never do the Lord's Prayer and everything's going to be fine. It's kind of a, you need to go find a place where you can argue with yourself for a while, just like Mary did with
the mesmerist. Yeah, it's like not even, you like, it's weird. I read some instructions on how to pray, and basically you just, like, fight yourself to not feel sick anymore.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, to Jesus or God. It's like, don't be sick, Katie.
Right?
Don't be sick.
Which sounds like not just counterproductive because you're not getting the help you need, but you're tiring yourself out more. So that if you were fighting an infection, you're probably worse off than if you hadn't had this internal conflict.
I just watch Fraggle Rock when I'm sick.
Yeah? Does it help?
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Filling your life with positivity is helpful. And there's a lot to be said about the placebo effect. That doesn't mean don't seek actual help when there's something wrong that needs help.
Absolutely. There are reports, though, even though they aren't specifically prohibited from seeking medical treatment, that members that do opt for medical treatment are often ostracized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can hire somebody from the church to come and help you out. You can get a healer, which is like a doctor, but they're making money off of lying to you.
It's actually a Christian Science practitioner, and they're very good at praying.
Are they?
That's what they're trying to do.
Just 11 years ago, 12 years ago now, I guess, there was a practitioner named Frank Prince Wondelek. If I'm not right in that pronunciation, I'm at least close. We'll put his name in the show notes. He said, all healing is a metaphysical process. That means that there is no person to be healed, no material body, no patient, no matter, no illness, no one to heal, no substance, no person, no thing, and no place that needs to be influenced. This is what the practitioner must first be clear about.
This sounds very Scientology.
A little bit, yeah. So, I mean, the problem that I have right off the beginning is there is nobody that needs to be healed or influenced. When your job is to go and heal people, maybe that's not the thing you should be saying.
What are you charging for then?
Right? I mean, basically, he's standing here saying either you don't exist or you do, but nothing else does. So you got nothing to worry about, which, I mean, it may be an extreme interpretation of those words, but that feels really weird. When you say there's nothing that needs to be influenced, you're either saying there is no disease at all or it's not a problem. And there is a disease and it is a problem. It's frustrating. And at least 50 Christian Scientists have been charged with murder after their children died of very preventable illnesses. Now, of course, it's not first degree murder. That requires premeditation. And the situation is a little premeditated, but not to the degree where it actually counts as premeditated murder.
So it'd be manslaughter in Canada.
Exactly.
Where I think it's third degree murder in the States is our manslaughter.
Yeah.
LDS.
Yeah. The LDS tradition is a much healthier place relative to this issue. I'll admit that it's a mixed bag. There are a lot of converts to the church who come from a wide variety of backgrounds. A lot of people have believed that you really should just pray and not see a doctor when something is wrong. That if you're having mental health problems or physical health problems, pray about it, eat your vitamins, get your essential oils, and maybe talk to the bishop for counseling. Most of those are not very good choices, including the last one. Your bishop is very seldom a properly trained therapist. But there are cases where he is, and he deserves to be paid for that.
Mm-hmm. But talk about these elder blessings, because I've heard about it in passing, just being your friend.
Yeah. So
tell us a little bit more.
While there are encouragements to seek medical attention, there is also encouragement to get a blessing from an elder of the church. It comes with an anointing of virgin olive oil and all that fun stuff, and typically lay hands on somebody's head and give a blessing of whatever is needed. Very often there's a promise that you'll be healed, but this does not take the place of seeking medical attention. It is very explicitly stated over the pulpit regularly from the very top that it should not take the place of seeking medical attention.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, even though some people have a hard time with that spectrum. No church is monolithic. I've given lots of blessings, and that's not because I believe that it's going to fix everything and that you need to go just pray afterwards. No, sometimes you should get medical attention, depending on what the situation is. Yeah, I don't know. The president of the church throughout the COVID crisis was a world-renowned heart surgeon. We've got a serious commitment to actually making sure people are healthy, that we can stick around for a long time. Latter-day Saints are, in some communities, longer lived than average. So,
because you don't drink, do drugs, or anything.
I mean, that's probably a bigger contributor, though we have our own vices. There's an awful lot of Latter-day Saints who eat a lot more sugar than they ought to.
I was going to say, from the ones I know, yes. They'll all feel personally attacked now. I'm so sorry, friends. Yes.
But to be fair, the entirety of North American culture, with a handful of specific localized exceptions, we weigh more sugar than we really should.
Mm, fair.
So are Mormons the standout there? Not so much.
Okay. Seventh-day Adventists, again, another Christian denomination. They are typically vegetarians.
Pretty often.
And so they're comfortable with seeking medicine and modern medical and health practices, but they have been known to prefer holistic medicine, kind of in line with that vegetarian thing. So they've been known to talk about holistic medicine, which is a phrase that has been used by people who oppose medical treatment. But good doctors also talk about the necessity of keeping the whole body healthy, which is holistic. So,
yeah. Dr. Mike even talks about it sometimes.
Is that the YouTube one?
Yeah.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah. He's a handsome man.
He's a very handsome man. An Adventist family hit the news in 2014 for failing to get their son proper medical care after being diagnosed with rickets.
You don't hear about rickets very often.
That's what Tiny Tim had. Are they speculating? It's not actually written in the book.
I mean, it's a work of fiction, so.
And then in It's Always Sunny.
Rickety Cricket. Rickety Cricket. we put vitamin D in so many things now.
Yes.
Like, we encourage children to have cereal with a bowl of milk. And all of our milk that you get at the grocery store today has vitamin D in it.
Yeah, so rickets is preventable with vitamin D.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty easy to get. So that's really bad.
Pretty easy to not get rickets.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to get vitamin D.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And then not easy to get rickets. So it must be known that they got sucked into the anti-medic trap despite warnings from their church.
Yeah, this is not a normal thing within this religious community. There is even a network of Seventh-day Adventist hospitals where they actually perform real medicine. So it's weird to see this kind of news hit where a family within this religious community just doesn't want to get involved in medicine.
Yeah. Now, we've been pretty hard on Christians this episode. Specific Christian denominations.
Yeah.
Spectrum. We know it's not all Christians, but...
Well, and it's not even all people within the denominations we've talked about.
Right. Like I said,
nothing is monolithic.
Yes, on your deathbed, if you need a blood transfusion, you might sure change your mind real fast. And people have.
Yeah.
But we also see it in other religions.
So. Yeah. The Hindu tradition is kind of interesting, where generally speaking, medicine is favorably talked about. In fact, when we talked about Hinduism in our introductory episode, there's a whole part of their religious philosophy that deals with different kinds of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
How that translates to modern things can get a little bit fuzzy, but generally speaking, it's pretty positive because the Vedas were written thousands of years ago. But it's kind of cool. But there is, of course, a lot of prejudice against doctors from overseas coming to North America. Do they live up to the same medical standards? Investigation always has to go into it, and they usually end up becoming taxi drivers or literally anything else that's easy to get into, because getting into the doctor's office again is really complicated.
Yeah, there needs to be some better international cooperation there, because...
Well, and we do have some doctors who make it and become doctors here relatively quickly.
Oh, absolutely,
it's not 100% thing. It's really frustrating. And the interesting thing that I think is worth bringing up here is that while they're cool with medicine, they actually do have an issue, as if they're really into their Hindu faith, of they have an issue with using animal products in their medicine. Any animal juices, we
gelatins
find...
Gelatins often quite...
Yeah, we use a lot of different animal stuff in our medicine, which sounds really weird until you actually know a lot about it. And it's like, oh yeah, that sounds like a natural choice. I'm not an expert. I just trust the people who are.
Fair.
Sikhs follow the same Hindu principles. That comes with the whole vegan vegetarian thing, that care for the animals. It's not about keeping the body non-animal, keeping it pure. It's about respect for the animals. So, of course, our First Nations people here in North America are more positive about using the whole animal, respecting the animal, but take what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And be responsible and respectful with what's left. Find a use for it if you can. So, a really different way of looking at the world there.
Yeah.
Islam is interesting that they have similar restrictions to Sikhs and Hindus, but not the same. That you absolutely cannot use any material that comes from swine. Swine is haram. But animal products from cows, for example, is fine.
Medical products from cows.
Yes.
You said animal products from cows. That's true. That is not
true.
Untrue.
It's not what I meant. You're
but
right.
It was not
medical products
enough.
From cows. And so I thought that was really interesting, because you would be haram if you were part pig, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm haram anyway, according to their laws.
I mean, yeah, I own a dog, so.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Already.
Troubles.
Yeah.
Of course, there are exceptions. Life or death emergencies are validation enough to ignore these prohibitions. Of course, they're a lot more available here in the West, where there's not pre-existing prohibitions. some people like their books more than they like their children. So
I was going to make a sassy comment, but I will all refrain for once. I like books better than children. I said it.
That's fair. But they're not your children.
That's true. And I have no
control. Do you like your books more than Paige?
No, I would say Paige and a Fire, but not my books.
See? That's how it goes.
Fair.
And that feels like the right choice.
Thank you.
And Paige isn't even human.
But she is real.
Yes, she is
like
real.
She's a badger. She's a little dog.
Yeah.
I'll post a picture to Discord just because I like her.
Yeah. And a few years ago, I heard this great poem from Tim Minchin, who we actually mentioned ever so briefly in our most recent interview episode. Storm is the name of the poem by Tim Minchin. And this little snippet is just perfect. Alternative medicine has either not been proved to work or been proved not to work. Do you know what they call alternative medicine that's been proved to work? Medicine. And that's the deal. I can't think of any better way to explain it. I couldn't get a doctor to say it in a more beautiful way.
Judas would say something like that. Yeah, so we were pretty hard on people today, but that's okay.
That's okay. I don't think we've alienated anybody.
No. And I think it's, I mean, that's why we exist, is to have conversations about religion and maybe push some boundaries on beliefs, because no group will get better if we don't.
Right. Whether you're Christian, Buddhist, or just really into snails, or atheist, generally the best way to run through this life is by caring about each other as people and wanting the best for each other. And that means saving lives when we can, in the effective ways, through proven methods.
You know what, everyone? In addition to following us on Discord and our Instagram and Facebook this week, I encourage you to all go and donate some blood.
I think that's the best civic thing that we can all handle. Unless, of course,
for medical reasons you can't.
Yeah.
You can also support us on our Patreon, where we have early release and bonus episodes and our book club. Thank you to patron Lisa for supporting our podcast. And if the subscription model is not your thing, you can also check out our spread shop, where we have some amazing Holy Watermelon merch to make you look fancy in this new year.
Thanks for joining us. Peace be with you.
By the late Middle Ages, the Christian prophecies had fulfilled itself.